For the past 75 years, the People's Republic of China, under the able leadership of the Communist Party, has accomplished so much for so many. From Mao Zedong's proclamation in 1949, the Chinese people have stood up right up until the present moment. China has set an example in everything from attacking poverty, a real war on poverty, not like the fake ones they have here in the U.S., to implementing green technology. It really is astounding. China has been showing the way. And greater things lie ahead. At the most recent Party Congress, Communist Party of Germans Xi Jinping stated, "All of us in the party must stay true to our fundamental purpose of serving the people wholeheartedly and maintain a people-centered mindset and carry out the mass line." And later in the speech, he noted, "The party has made spectacular achievements through its great endeavors over the past century, and our new endeavors will certainly lead to more spectacular achievements." And I think I certainly speak for all of us, each and every one here, in wishing the People's Republic of China many more victories on its 75th birthday. And that includes hoping for a speedy and successful conclusion of the last unfinished piece of business of the Chinese Revolution, and that's reunification with Taiwan Province. And that's some good in the world, but we know that all is not right in this world. So let's examine some features of the international situation, especially U.S. hostility towards People's China, including economic and military measures undertaken by the White House and Pentagon, and in the context which these measures are being taken. And specifically, that context I'm talking about is the decline of American imperialism. The U.S. has an empire that spans the globe, but it's an empire in decline, as many basic economic measures show. The U.S. share of the world GDP since World War II has been halved. The fall of the U.S. steel industry is an illustration of this. The plurality of steel in the world was, in 1955, was about 45% was produced in the U.S. Today, it's fallen to about 5%, and the U.S. is a net steel importer. In fact, China produces about 12 times more steel than the U.S., just to go off script here a little bit. Contrast this with socialist China. Using the measure of purchasing power to parity, which you use to compare commodities against a given currency, the World Bank has concluded the Chinese economy is 23% larger than the United States economy. China produces twice the electricity of the United States, three times the autos. It has a shipbuilding capacity of more than 200 times that of the United States. The economy of the People's Republic of China has continually grown, and due to the superiority of socialism, it has never experienced a single economic crisis due to overproduction, and that's an absolute fact. The PRC is emerging as a major, major force in the world economy. The U.S. response to this change in place has been significant. For all practical purposes, the United States has abandoned the drive to put together large-scale multilateral trade agreements. For example, I don't think there's been any motion on such since the Doha agreements failed in 2008. It's been a long time. Likewise, the United States invested a huge amount of time and energy in putting together the World Trade Organization. Many of us here put a lot of time and energy into opposing it, but the fact of the matter is, the United States is the one that today is blocking it from functioning by refusing to appoint judges to the appeal process that deals with the basically trade and tariffs. The United States has moved from once being a champion of free trade to now being a practitioner of protectionism. In the context of declining empire, the United States is moving to delink its economy from China, and the Biden administration is following in the footsteps of Trump. A few weeks ago, on Friday the 13th, an unlucky day, the White House announced tariffs, 100% on electric vehicles imported from China. Tariffs have been put on or placed on many more Chinese-made products, be they steel, lithium batteries, or even much-needed personal protection devices to help prevent the spread of COVID and other diseases. Tons of tariffs. In addition, the United States has abandoned its traditional neoliberal economic model insofar as capital investment goes and has adopted an industrial policy here in the U.S. and is restricting capital flows to China. So what about war preparations and our tasks? For those of you who are readers of bourgeois foreign policy journals, I am, I think Sarah Flounders is too, what we see in them is debates that are really incredible. For example, will a war, this is like foreign affairs, right? Will a war with China be long or will it be short? That's the kind of things they're debating in foreign affairs right now. And this indicates that we have a problem. The Pentagon has made it clear that China is its number one priority. And basically what it's doing is putting together an alliance of hostile forces, a hostility towards China together in the Pacific region, and these alliances are formal and informal. The U.S. is getting ready to deliver, at this point in time, its biggest ever military package to China, the greatest ever. People's China wants peace, and the U.S. is on a path towards war. The implications of this are huge, and the tasks of revolutionaries and progressive people in this country, it's cut out for us. We need to oppose each and every U.S. war. We need to stand with the oppressed from Palestine to the Philippines. And we need to stand with the socialist countries, stand in solidarity with China. It's an absolute necessity. The People's Republic of China is making the world a better place. The United States, with its ally Israel, is practicing genocide. The choice is clear. We have a common enemy in the monopoly capitalists that rule the United States. By standing together as one, the peoples of the world have a bright future. Mao Zedong, in 1956, noted, "Now, U.S. imperialism seems quite powerful, but in reality it isn't. It is very weak politically because it is divorced from the masses of people, and it is disliked by everyone, including the American people." Yes. He said it. "In appearance, it is very powerful, but in reality, it is nothing to be afraid of. It is a paper tiger. Outwardly, a tiger is made of paper, unable to withstand the wind and rain." So in conclusion, away with the paper tiger. Long live the unity of the peoples of the world. Long live socialist China. And thank you very much. Happy 75 China. There we go.